So Mike texted me on Monday asking me to do the Devo, so I asked him like what the topic would be. And he told me how y'all have been talking about choosing, making godly choices. And my mind went to when we choose to obey the gospel, we are choosing to be Christ-like for the rest of our lives. So tonight I would like to go through three ways that we can be Christ-like. 1 John 2 verse 5 says, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." So the first way we can be Christ-like is to be bold. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 49. That's Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 49. And it reads, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?" So Jesus was teaching the doctors in the temple. I looked up the Greek word for doctors in this passage, and the Greek word for that is didaskalos. Forgive me if I mispronounce it. I don't know Greek too well. But the first definition for that word is one who is fitted to teach or thinks himself so. The second definition, which really stood out to me, is the teachers of the Jewish religion. It says that he was both hearing them and asking them questions. It also says that all that heard him were astonished. To me, that kind of sounds like Jesus was potentially debating the teachers of the Jewish religion in the temple. I mean, anyways, a 12-year-old boy from Nazareth coming into the temple and astonishing them, that must have taken great courage. My second example of Jesus being bold comes from John chapter 2, verses 13 through 16. And it reads, "And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence, make not my father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." Read one verse too far, but that's okay. Jesus catches these people who he does not know personally using the temple in an unacceptable manner and kicks them out. When we see people making a mockery of God, are we bold enough to correct them? To be Christ-like, we must be bold. We know that we are right, and we must stand up for it. The second way that we can be Christ-like is to walk in obedience. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him into Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Jesus was tempted three times in the wilderness, but he chose to obey the commandments of the Lord rather than worldly temptations and desires. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 22. We'll be reading verse 42. This, in case y'all don't know, this is the context when Jesus was praying in the garden before he was betrayed. And verse 42 reads, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus is telling the Father that he would prefer his will be done over Jesus' manly will, his worldly will. As Jesus is praying before he is betrayed, he is extremely stressed. The Bible says that he sweat great drops of blood, and yet he says, Thy will be done. This is the example of ultimate obedience, obedience unto death. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And then turn with me also to Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus demonstrated the ultimate obedience. We must do the same. My last example of how we can be Christ-like is through servitude. Not just serving God, but also serving others. Flip with me to John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, and that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God, and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Jesus demonstrates great service to others by washing the apostles' feet. Consider how nasty their feet must have been back then. They did not have the technology we have today. There were no cars, so they must have been walking a lot more. They did not have the same shoe technology we have today, nor did they have the same hygienic products. These feet had to have been pretty disgusting, and yet the Lord was humble enough to stoop down and wash their feet before he was going to die on the cross. Flip with me to Mark chapter 10, verses 42 through 45. But Jesus called them to him, and saith unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Not only does Jesus say that whoever the greatest among you is will be a servant, but he also says that he did not come to be served, but to serve the world by giving his life for our sins. This is the ultimate service. John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. To conclude, when we demonstrate boldness of faith, we are showing our confidence and commitment to the gospel. Look at the apostles. They suffered so much persecution, yet they knew that Yet they knew what they were teaching was right, and they stood up for it constantly. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. His bonds in Christ were evident through the whole palace. Everyone knew. Those who saw him were made confident through his boldness. When we demonstrate boldness of faith, it encourages other Christians around us as well as sets a good example for non-Christians. Walking in obedience keeps us anchored in our faith. How can we call ourselves Christians if we do not walk in obedience to the Father just like Christ did? When we begin to obey partially, we become hypocrites. Finally, when we demonstrate servitude to others, we are showing not only our humility, but our love and care for others around us. There are many passages that tell us to love one another. Jesus says in Matthew 22:37-39, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Paul says in Romans 12:10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, and honor preferring one another. When non-Christians see our love for one another, they desire to partake in it. If you are here and have not obeyed the gospel and would like to, we have great strong brethren here that would be more than happy to help you. And if you're a Christian and have already obeyed the gospel and you are here, you need the prayers of the congregation, please come forward as we stand and sing.